Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew Gospel, reading from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. The reading will be on the board behind me. The heading of the passage is, Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. Christ is risen. Now, this is not a Bible verse that they put it up, but it is biblical. So for those who are new to Christian faith, or if you are from a different culture, this seems to be a greeting in the early church, during the first years of the church, when Christians got together, they proclaimed this truth to one another and said, "Christ is risen," and the people responded, "Amen, amen." Let's pray before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day where we get to sit under your word. And Father, we get to remember that significant day in the Christian calendar that changed the history, but also that has been changing lives ever since. So Father, as we look at this passage this morning, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in us and through us. And for your glory, as we've just sung, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of visitors amongst us. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dylan Jasinger. I'm the pastor of the church here. Now, here's a challenge for you. How many people can you think you can fit into this phone booth? Eight? I mean, really cram. Don't ask those questions. Just say how many people. 5 children? Okay. Adults? Teenagers? Let's say young adults. Okay. Let's see. Back in 1959, right? Way before I was even born, a group of students in Durban, South Africa, we have some South Africans here, tried to do this, right? They crammed as many people as possible, so you can see they're not like, there's actually a clergyman at the back, if you can see, OHS issues, but how many people do you think got crammed into this phone booth? 15, 25. 25 people got crammed in. So they took upon themselves this challenge because they didn't have the internet. They didn't have phones. So what do we do? There's a phone booth. Let's try and cram ourselves into this. And they did that. I think they tried to reproduce, redo this one a few years ago. They could manage only about 17 into a phone booth. Now, thinking about challenges, what challenges you? What challenges you this morning? If you are a student, you might be challenged by a deadline for an assignment or an exam that's coming through. If you're from another country, language might be a challenge for you. Perhaps you are challenged by an illness. Some of us are challenged by getting old. We can't do the stuff that we used to do. Maybe it's a physical, emotional, or mental, financial challenge that you are going through right now. At some point or another, we all will face challenges. We will face challenges, but we usually take steps to get over them, don't we? Now, as we've already heard today, the Universal Church is celebrating, waking up to the news that Jesus is risen. We remember that Jesus who died, he was buried, and then he did not stay dead. He came back to life after 3 days, and the tomb that he was laid was empty. Imagine the very first witnesses on the very first morning of the resurrection. It was not quite the morning that they were jumping up and down for joy, was it? You might have noticed in the reading that we had this morning, you might want to have it in front of you, the word afraid appeared 4 times. It was a fear-filled, traumatic, mind-boggling, confusing morning. They were met with the challenge of the empty tomb of Jesus. What do we do with the empty tomb of Jesus? What do we do? How do we make sense of the resurrection? Now, this is the challenge the world faces even today, isn't it? Most people are willing to accept Jesus' teaching, admire his good deeds, admire that he suffered, even admit that he died an innocent death. But the resurrection of Jesus is always a contentious point, isn't it? How could a dead person come back to life after 3 days? And if he's alive, what do we do with his teachings? What do we do with his claims? What do we do with the empty tomb of Jesus? Now, I want to suggest the empty tomb of Jesus challenges all of us. All of us. It challenges if you are a skeptic. It challenges if you're an admirer of Jesus. It challenges if you are a believer. So that's what we are going to think about this morning for the remaining time. Because my guess is we all fit into one of these categories this morning. First, the resurrection challenges the skeptic, the unbeliever. There's a bit of a dictionary definition up there. Needless to say, those who crucified Jesus on Friday, they didn't really believe in Jesus. They were skeptics. After all the evidence that was provided for them while Jesus was alive, all the miracles, the teachings, the things that they saw, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, the Roman governor, King Herod, and the Roman soldiers, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't believe that Jesus certainly was going to come back to life. Right? They were unbelievers, skeptics. But for the fear of that Jesus' friends might come and steal the body of Jesus, what did they do? They said they rolled a stone. Go back a bit. They rolled a stone across this tomb, and they sealed it, and they posted guards, Roman soldiers. A group of people who did not really believe in Jesus were guarding the tomb. If you look at verses 2 to 4 in this chapter that we read, some extraordinary things happened that morning, right? A violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Imagine that, in the middle of a graveyard, an angel appearing. And he rolled back the stone and sat on it. And we are told the angel looked like lightning, and his clothes were like white as snow, and the tomb was empty. Now, who saw all these for the very first time? Not the friends of Jesus, not the women, but the Roman soldiers, right? The guards. The unbelievers, they saw this. They were the very first witnesses. And we are told that they were terrified and became like dead men. Imagine what an unforgettable experience they've had that morning. Right? Front row seats to the resurrection. But the irony is, although they had all the facts, all the knowledge, the evidence, the unforgettable experience, they did not believe. How do we know? Later in the same chapter, if you read the next few verses, verse 11 to 15, we are told that they chose to spread a lie because of money. They chose to ignore. They chose to discredit the evidence. They chose not to believe. And they missed the gracious gift that God was offering to those who believe in Him. The forgiveness, the salvation, the eternal life. How sad is that? How sad is that? See, friends, there is overwhelming evidence, undeniable evidence, that Jesus truly came back to life. The tomb was empty, and no one yet been able to produce the body of Jesus. They couldn't prove the body was stolen by his friends. And apart from the first disciples who saw him, there were more than 500 eyewitnesses who saw Jesus at once. Some of the eyewitnesses wrote it down in the Bible, in the Gospels. And some of the eyewitnesses were martyred. They gave up their life because they could not deny what they have seen. The church, if you think about it, has existed 2,000 years. But more than that, how would we account for you? The transformed lives of believers. But the challenge for the skeptic is, what do we do with all that overwhelming evidence? There are only two things, isn't it, that we could do. Like the soldiers, we could choose not to believe and ignore and deny the truth, or believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead. Because at the end of the day, friends, you could have all the evidence in the world. You could be knowing all about Jesus. But all that won't save you. Only faith in Jesus will save you. That's the challenge for the unbeliever, the skeptic. Would you believe? Secondly, the resurrection challenges the admirers, right? The admirers. Now, Foster and I are fans of Andrew Rieu. I think that's how you say the name. The Dutch violinist and the choir master. When he was here last time in Sydney, a few years ago, we went to see him at the, then it was the ICC Sydney. We paid good money. We got good seats. And we had a ball. We loved it. We loved his humor. We loved his music, how he kind of mixes the classical music and the contemporary music together. We are great admirers, and our YouTube kind of algorithms have picked that up as well. So it will show you. Now, Jesus had fans, right? All sorts of people followed him. They liked him. They talked highly of him. Men and women, we see just before Jesus was crucified, there were women who were watching from a distance, and they watched him as he was kind of embalmed and partially embalmed and put it in a tomb. They provided for his ministry. They admired Jesus. He was their hero. They respected Jesus. And verse 1 of chapter 28, we read this morning, these women, the same women who admired Jesus, came to the tomb early in the morning, the dawn of the day, probably to anoint the body of Jesus because they couldn't do that properly on Friday. They have come to pay their last respects to their beloved hero. To say maybe their final goodbyes to a dear friend. But the point is, they went to see a dead, crucified Jesus, isn't it? That's what the angel says. They went to see a dead Jesus buried in a tomb. And the sight of the empty tomb challenged them. And the angel had to tell these women not to be afraid. Why? Because they were terrified. They didn't know what to make of this empty tomb. So in verses 5 to 6, the angels tell them, right? He tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You came looking for a crucified, dead Jesus, but he's not here. The tomb is empty. Why? He has risen, just as he said. That's the key word, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You see, we've seen that over the past few weeks, haven't we? As we look through the account of Jesus' last few days, that at least three times Jesus predicted that he would be betrayed, he would suffer, he would be crucified, and be raised back to life after 3 days. And this is exactly what happened, just as he said. Now, I think here is a bit of a gentle rebuke to the women that morning who admired Jesus. You admired him, but you didn't listen. You didn't trust his word, because if you did, you wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be surprised and terrified to see an empty tomb. You would be dancing and rejoicing and telling anyone and everyone that Jesus is risen. Are you an admirer this morning? You may come to church regularly or occasionally. You respect Jesus and his people, the church. You like his teaching. You may even read his word. You may even be able to quote a saying or two of Jesus. You respect him. You admire him. But you don't really take his word seriously. You don't believe his word. You don't care about his promises or warnings. You don't live according to his word. Why? Because this Jesus that you admire is dead. He is buried in a tomb with a huge stone blocking the entrance, and all he needs is a bit of a respite, maybe once or twice a year. The challenge for the admirers of Jesus, the challenge of the empty tomb is, he is risen from the dead. Exactly as he said it would happen. And if he did, then we must conclude without any reservation that every one of his words, every one of the statements that he made, every claim he made is true and trustworthy. His promises that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life can be trusted. His promise that he is going to prepare a place for us and he will come back to take us to be with him can be trusted. His promise that he would be with us till the end of the age and he will never forsake us nor leave us can be trusted. His promise that he would come back one day, as we sang earlier, as the judge of the living and the dead, can be trusted. His warning that hell awaits for those who don't believe in Jesus can be trusted. See, if Jesus came back to life just as he said, then we cannot stay any longer as admirers or fans of Jesus. Respecting him is not enough. We need to become a believer. We need to become a follower of Jesus. Take him at his words. Take him seriously. His promises, his warnings, commands, and his encouragements. We need to move from being admirers to being followers, believers of Jesus. The third, the resurrection of Jesus challenges all the believers, isn't it? You see, after the angel told the women that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were given proof of what he just said, what they've just said, right? An empty tomb, verse 6. And then Jesus himself appears. And they worship him, right? And these women, they moved from being admirers to believers of Jesus, didn't they? In fact, I think these women were the very first converts of the risen Lord Jesus. They became, they came as unbelievers and admirers and fans of Jesus. Now they're leaving, about to leave as believers. And in verse 7, the angels tell them, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And again in verse 10, Jesus himself appears and tells them, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers. Imagine that, isn't it? These guys who abandoned Jesus and betrayed Jesus a few days ago, Jesus calls them my brothers. And how loving is that, isn't it? But what I want you to see is the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb of Jesus, challenges every believer, not just to believe in Jesus, but to obey. Right? We are given a mandate. Go and tell. Go and tell. Be witnesses of this great good news. And this involves certainly telling others about Jesus. Supporting missionaries. Maybe getting involved in evangelistic activities. Maybe door knocking or leaflet dropping. Or getting involved in the community outreach programs. But is that it? Friends, if we believe in a resurrected Jesus, you must ask, do people around us, around me, see Jesus in me? Like we say Jesus is alive. Do people notice that in our own lives? Do our lives bear witness to a dead Jesus or a risen Jesus? Now that you have become a believer, has there been a change in your life? The way you speak, the way you behave, the way you work, the way you treat your friends, the way we look after the poor and the marginalized and the refugees, the way we raise our children. I could go on. In other words, do we live out our faith of a risen Lord Jesus in the public square? Can people see us, not just hear us, but say, yes, this must be true. This must be true. The Jesus that they believe is real. He is risen. Can they say that? Or is your faith limited to church on a Sunday morning, 1 hour, or at your home? Or is it available in the public square? James 2:19, he says these words. You believe that there is one God? Good, excellent, awesome, fantastic. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. They shiver. Do you? Do you? In other words, demons, they show their faith in God by trembling before God. But how are you showing your faith? Because as James writes in his letter, the brother of Jesus, he says, faith without deeds is useless. It is dead. See, the resurrection of Jesus, friends, the empty tomb, challenges believers to act and obey, to be witnesses of Jesus, both in word and deed. If Jesus has risen from the dead, this is the news that the world needs to hear today. This is the challenge that people need to hear today and also see. Because to the world, this Jesus is dead. And a dead Jesus cannot save. A dead Jesus cannot forgive. A dead Jesus cannot give us hope. A dead Jesus cannot give us eternal life. So the empty tomb, it challenges all of us, isn't it? I wonder where you fit in this morning. Are you a skeptic? Struggling with what to do with the empty tomb? And you have all the evidence. Maybe you've done Christianity Explored or Alpha or one of the courses. You read the Bible. You've kind of got everything in your mind, but you still haven't trusted Jesus. Challenge for you is, would you take a step of faith this morning to trust in Jesus? Are you an admirer of Jesus? You respect him, you like him, but like the skeptic, you too haven't really believed in Jesus. You are keeping Jesus kind of at an arm's length, maybe double arm's length. Again, would you be willing to take a step of faith this morning to trust in Jesus? And are you a believer? Most of us are. Would you then obey his word? Allow his word to shape the way you live, the way you speak, the way you behave, your attitudes? Would you be willing to tell the world that Jesus is the only way to the Father? That only in Jesus we have the gift of God's forgiveness, gift of eternal life. Would you be a follower and a witness of Jesus for the glory of God? For those who are regular here, you would have remembered what I just said. That is our mission statement. Isn't it? That's what God calls us to be.